Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 11 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Yud. You will notice a diamond on that line. This diamond is representative of a series that we started during our last shiur on Daf Kuf Tes, which signifies a series of problems that we call snake-related problems. So far, we saw situations where someone had swallowed a snake, and that was at the bottom of Kuf Tes on the base, where the first diamond appeared in this series, and we dashed underlined the problem as it appears. And the next problem that we had seen was someone who was tarke chivya, was bitten by a snake. We continue with the series here. Hi man de karche chivya, someone who was karche is to be wrapped around, who a snake coiled around, someone who was coiled around by a snake. Linchus lemaya, he should jump into the water. Velischuf dikula areshe, and cover the snake's head with a dikula, a basket. Velehadke mine, and to gradually separate the snake from his body, maneuvering the snake in this basket. The chisolik iluya, when the snake goes into the basket, lishte lemaya, he should throw it into the water, velisluk, and get out the lacy and leave the area. Haiman demikni bechivya, new problem. Here's someone who was who a snake mikni is to become angry. In other words, you have a snake that appears to become angry with someone. It starts to possibly hiss at him, and it smells. The snake picked up on the scent of his steps. So, iiko chavrei bade, if you have someone with you, lirkeve arba garmidi. So, your friend should carry you a distance of 4 amos, thereby causing a break, we'll say, in the scent trail, because the snake set upon your scent, and if your friend carries you a distance of 4 amos, that'll break the trail. Ve'ilo, and if you don't have that, lishaver nagro, so you should jump over a ditch of water. Ve'ilo, and if you don't have that available, laver naro, cross a river. Ubalelo losve lupuya arbo chavita, and at night, place your puya as a bed in 4 jugs of water. Venigni bay kuchvi, and sleep outdoors, so as to ensure that the snake doesn't come over a roof and jump on you. Velaisi arba shunri, and bring 4 cats. Velisrinu ba'arba kari depuria, and tie them to the 4 legs of your bed. Velaisi shachvi, bring some shachvi, are branches and other kinds of plants that when you walk on them, the crunching up on them will produce a noise, and and place them around your bed. The chishama koli, when the cats will hear some noise, namely like the snake approaching on them, achli lei, the cats will eat the approaching snake. Haiman deroit abasrei. Before we go further in the Gemara, we made a disclaimer in our previous shiur, but for those who are listening for the first time, we have to mention that when studying in the Shas sections of Gemara that deal with remedies and different medicines, Rishonim, the early commentaries, have already said that we don't know, things have changed, and we don't know exactly what the different ingredients are, and therefore we should not attempt to follow the things mentioned by way of remedies that are found in the Shas. We added that it's very likely that many of these different remedies and techniques are put in the Shas for deeper call more mystical or hidden reasons. Therefore, one shouldn't treat the matters lightly, but rather approach them with a certain amount of humility, saying, I don't really understand, or I don't know what the deep reason or the background for these things are, but being that it's included in the Shas, and especially as part of our Daf Yomi Shurim, we attempt to go through them and admit straight out that we're doing things in a very superficial fashion, but that's the nature of our program. And in this, especially in the case of these different serpent cases, one can rest assured that there is a much deeper meaning behind these things. So, as we said, we're going to try to translate as best as we can, except for cases where specific plants and different ingredients are mentioned that we don't have a tradition on them. Rashi, from time to time, very often, in fact, explains them using a French word, so people who are insistent on getting a translation for these things, we recommend looking at different Talmud translations that are on the market. And as far as the French words in Rashi, there are books that have dealt with the old French and Rashi, translating them into Hebrew and English as well. But in the context of Gemara markings, we are going to avoid that, continuing with the Gemara text itself. So, Haiman, the next case, the Roid Abasrei, one who finds himself being pursued by a serpent, Lirhit Bei Chalsa, so you should try to run in sand. And in sand, the Nachash, the snake, doesn't travel well in sand. And realizing its incapacity for pursuing you, it will turn away. We continue with the Gemara, and some of these things, I say, are very very mystical in nature, but we continue. The next diamonds you can see surround the expression Hai Itzah. Now, these are snake-related cases. However, they focus on a woman. Hai Itzah, Itzah is a woman, the Chazio Chivya, who was seen by a serpent, V'lo Yoda, Yohiv Daite Iluya, Ilo Yohiv Daite Iluya. And she does not know whether the serpent has desire for intimacy with the woman or not. She is simply, she's not sure. So, Tishlach Mona, she should take off her garments, V'nishde Kameh, and throw it in front of the snake. E michruch behu, if the snake coils around them, daiti luya, then it's clear that the snake is interested in her, in the intimacy. Ve lo, if it avoids her garments, lo yoyev daiti luya, then it's a sign that the snake hasn't developed a desire for her. Mai takanto, well, let's say that the snake does coil around her garments, so what should she do now? A couple of suggestions. Number one, tishamesh kamei. She should conduct intimacy with her husband in front of the snake. Iko diamri. Others say regarding that suggestion, kol shekein, the tokif le yitzrei, that all the more will inflame the passion of the snake. Elo, a second suggestion, tishkol mimazio mitufra. She should take from her hair and her fingernails, v'tishdi bei, and throw it at the snake, v'teimo, and say, dishtina ano. This is presented really as an incantation, but dishana is derech noshim. It's a contraction of derech noshim, which means I am menstruating. That's what she should say to the snake. Hai itza da'ayil bo chivya, a woman who a snake entered her, and it was entered her female organs. Lifsa. She should lifsa up. Rashi explains, yifsiku es raglos, that means that she should spread her legs one from the other. The lisvua atarti chavisa, and she should be placed upon two barrels. The lacy bisro shmena, and they should bring some fatty meat. The lishti agomri, and place the fatty meat on coals, and it will start to smoke, and the smell will rise and enter her womb area. The lacy agno the tachli. And she should bring a basket full of tachli. Tachli is a type of, it's called shachlaim, a type of vegetation, sometimes translated as cress. And so she should bring an agno de tachli, v'chamro richsona and some aromatic wine, velos vuhasam, and place it underneath her, velitrukinhu behadi hadadi, and mix the wine with the tachli. This will create more aroma. Velinkutzvasa, she should then bring a tongs. Velinkutzvasa, tzvas is a tongs. Biyada, she should hold this, the tongs. The chimirach recha, when the snake that's in her senses this smell, nafik, v'asi, it will emerge. Velishkile, she should then grab the snake with the tzvas, with the tongs. The likle benura, and throw it into the fire and burn it. Likle is to burn it in the fire. The lo, if she doesn't do this, hadar ilu, it will come back on her. It will come back and enter her again. The Mishnah mentioned that all food and all drink that people ordinarily drink or eat and drink, one is allowed to consume them for medicinal purposes. The Mishnah using the expression kol is an inclusive expression, and when you see the word kol or the word klal in Mishnayos, often the Gemara asks what is being included. So the Gemara asks, and we have a little lettering here, aleph, and on the next line you can see beis, highlighting these general expressions. Kol ha'oichlin l'suyei mai, what does that expression come to include? Answer, l'suyei t'choil l'shinayim v'karshinu l'beinayim. One can eat t'choil. Sometimes t'choil is translated as spleen meat for someone who has some type of tooth ailment. And karshinin, he can consume karshinin livnei me'ayim for some type of intestinal problem. Rashi says as follows, that t'chul l'shinayim v'alfa pi shekosher l'me'ayim, even though the t'chul is not good for one's digestive system, but it will benefit his teeth. And karshinim, even though the karshinim are not good for one's teeth, Rashi points out the chidush in this Gemara is that even though the t'chul is bad for one's me'ayim, and it's bad, and the karshinim are bad for one's teeth, and therefore why is a person eating it? It must be he's eating it for some medicinal reason. So and therefore it should not be allowed. So the Mishnah is mechadesh that, well, it is food, and therefore one can eat it and doesn't have to worry about that point that we just mentioned. Gemara continues, Kol ha-mashkin l'suye mai, what does that come to include as being allowed on Shabbos? L'suye mei tzlafin b'choymas. Tzlafin is the plural word tzlaf. This is the water of the fruit of the tzlaf plant in vinegar. Omale ravina l'rova, ma'u lishtos mei raglayim b'shabbos. What about drinking urine on Shabbos? Now, urine has certain medicinal value. So can you drink urine on Shabbos? Amale, so Rava answers, Tanina, we have learned, kol hamashkin shoyse, all beverages one is entitled to drink. Mei raglayim lo shosu inshi, but one cannot classify mei raglayim as a mashkin, as a beverage. People don't drink that unless it's for medicinal purposes. And as we've said a number of times, things that are obviously medicinal, one is not allowed to drink on or to consume on Shabbos. The Mishnah had mentioned, after saying that all mashkin one is allowed to drink, chutz mimei dekolim was mentioned in the Mishnah. So the Gemara in addressing that says, Tana chutz mimei dekorim. It's like this is a Tanaic source with a different version of mei dekolim. He reads it as, instead of the lamed, a resh, mei dekorim. doker literally is to pierce something. Man detona mei dekorim, one who reads mei dekorim, in other words, he's reading it's palm juice, but he's reading it as mei dekorim. Why? Shem doikrim es hamora. They pierce the mora, the gall. Uman domer mei dekorim, one who reads it as mei dekorim. Sheyotzen min shnei dekorim. It comes forth from two palms. That will become clearer as we go on in the Gemara. Omar Rabo bar Bruna. Tarti tloi iko b'marova. There are two palms in Eretz Yisrael. Venafka eno demayo mibinayu. There is a well, a spring that flows forth from between them. Kosakamo, the first. If you drink water from this well that emerges from the Mei Dekalim, so it will loosen its marpi. Marpi, from the word rafui, is to loosen one's bowels, loosen the contents that's inside of one's bowels. Idoch, a second cup. If you drink the second cup, mishalshel, will cause everything to become very loose, as Rashi says, it's very loose, as a diuretic. The uveidoch, a third cup, kihechi da'ili hochi nafki, as it enters, in other words, by the second cup, a person's system has been so cleaned out that the third cup that one drinks, as clear as it goes in, it will come out clear the same way. Omar ula, l'didi shosi shichur debavloi. Ula says, I drank Babylonian beer which was made from, in Babylonia, it was made from dates, from palms. Umali minayhu, and the beer, the Babylonian beer, was better than the more, it was mali minayhu, means better than the mei dekalim, the palm water that we mentioned before. It's effective. This is so if he hasn't been accustomed to drinking beer over the last 40 days. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a double underline marking that will highlight the names Rav Yosef and Rav Papa in the context of their the different medicinal recommendations. So Rav Yosef Amar Zesum Hamitri, this substance is liquid or beverage called Zesum Hamitri. Rashi points out that Zesum Hamitri hu mei dekorim v'alshem shedokim es acholi, that it penetrates, it pierces the ailment. So Rav Yosef says Zesum Hamitri is made of tilsa sairi, it's a third barley, v'tilsa kurtami, a third kurtami. Rashi says kurtami is karkoim, v'tilsa milcha, and a third salt. Rav Papa Omar, he has a different version of this, and he says tilsa chiti, v'tilsa kurtami, v'tilsa milcha. He switches the sairi that Rav Yosef mentioned, and he says a third chiti, wheat. The simonayach, in order to remember that Rav Yosef is associated with the barley, remember the word sisani. The word sisani is a vessel in which dates were placed, but the nature, the spelling of the word, or the sound of the word, has a double samach sound to it. So you, with that, if you remember that, you will associate Rav Yosef, that has a samach in his name, with Sairi, which has a samach sounding word. Even though it's spelled with a shin, it nevertheless sounds like it's a samach. And that way you'll remember that Rav Yosef is the one that said a third barley, as opposed to wheat. Veshasi lahu, and then he will drink this, the beverage, the Zeshem HaMitri, he'll then drink it, Bein Divcha LaTzarta, between Pesach and Shavuos. In other words, this is the time of year when this beverage will be effective as a remedy. The Kumet, one who is constipated, Marpi Lei, it will loosen him. The Ruffi, and one who is overly loose, will say, Kumet Lei, will undo this looseness for the person suffering from the excessive diarrhea. The kois ikrin. The Mishnah said that one is not allowed to consume kois ikrin. My kois ikrin, what is that? Omer Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan describes how this kois ikrin is made. And then later we'll see what one might be drinking this for, of course, but not on Shabbos. So first, how is Kois Ikrin made? Omer of Yochanan, Laisi Miskal Zuzo. Miskal is like the word Mishkal, it's a weight. A Zuz is a type of weight, a name of a weight. So he brings a Zuz amount of Kuma Alexandria. Umiskal Zuzo Gavio Gila. Umiskal Zuzo Kurkuma Rishka. So he brings these three ingredients, each one, the Kuma Alexandria, the Gavio Gila, and the Kurkuma Rishka, each one of them a Zuz amount. V'lishchakinu ba'diyadoni, and grind them together. Lizova tlosa b'chamra v'lo me'akra. As far as zova, this is a woman suffering from excessive blood flow. So tlosa means the three ingredients. B'chamra means together with wine. And v'lo me'akra won't impede her ability to procreate. Liyarkuna, someone suffering from yarkuna, a different type of ailment. Train, he brings two of these ingredients, b'shichro, together with beer, u'me'akir, but it will have the unfortunate, we'll say, side effect of causing sterility. Lezova, now you'll notice that we have the bow tie shape, and on the side of the Gemara under our nose, mivne heading, we've indicated trufos lezova liarkuna. These are remedies that we just mentioned them in the Gemara. Here the Gemara focuses on them, remedies for the Zava and the Arkuna. And very shortly we'll see triangles that start appearing. These are presented as, under our Mivneh heading, Sidra, Shaltrufos, Chilufios, Lezava. These are alternative remedies for the Zava, the woman suffering from an excessive female blood flow. So the Gemara continues. This is what we just mentioned, three of the ingredients that we saw three lines from the bottom. We numbered them off, those three ingredients, with wine, and it won't result in will not result in sterility. The ilo, if she doesn't have those ingredients, lysi, tlosa, kapizi, we continue here at the top of Omid Beis. Kapizi is a measure, it's a vessel that holds three lug. So she should bring Tlosa, Kapizi, Shamchi, Parsoi. Shamchi, Rashi explains, is Betzolim. Betzolim are onions. So Shamchi, Parsoi are for our purposes, are large onions. Parsoi, generally speaking, is translated as Persian onions, but Rashi says they are large onions. So she should produce three Kapizi of Shamchi Parsoi, Venishluk Bechamra, boil it in wine, Venishke, and drink it, Venemo La, and say, whoever's preparing this for should say, Kum Mizovech, get up from your Ziva. In other words, stop, your Ziva should stop. The Ziva is the blood flow. The E Lo, and if that's not available, Lo Sva Aprashas Drachim, she should be sat at a crossroads, Velinkito Kosa de Chamra Biyoda, and hold a cup of wine in her hands, Velesi Inish, Meachora, and a man should be made to approach her from behind, Velivasa, and to frighten her, Velemola, and say, Kum Mizover, get up from your Ziva. The E Lo, and if that's not an option, Lesi Buna de Kamuna, Buna is a fistful of Kamuna, of Kamon substance, Ubuna de Morika, and a fistful of Morikas. Rashi says Karkoim. Ubuna de Shavlilta. Shavlilta is, Rashi says, Tilson. He also uses a French word that sounds like the English fenugreek. And so they produce a Buna of Shavlilta. Venishluk Bechamra, and boil it in, boil them in wine. Venishke, and give her to drink. Venemolo, and say to her, Kum Mizovech. Vilo, and if that's not available, Lacey Shisin Shi'i de Donna, one should bring 60. Shi'i are seals, barrel seals. The barrels were covered with a clay, forming a clay seal. So one should bring 60 of these, Velishafye, and soak them in water. Rashi says, Lishaife Lichashiyoshur v'mayim. In other words, after they've soaked in water, then smear, Shaife is to smear them on Velei Mola, and say, Kum Mizovech, get up from your Ziva. Ve'i lo, Lesi Pashtina, and if that's not available, so bring Pashtina. Rashi says it's a type of grass that it's a called a runner. It crawls along the ground. It doesn't grow upright. Some would like to translate this as possibly ferns, but that's what Vashtina is. Velishlok b'chamra, boil it in wine, velishve, and smear it on. Venemo lo kum mizovech. Get up from your ziva. Ve'ilo, laisi charnuga dehigsa rumisa. One should bring this asev. This is a type of charnuga is a type of grass that grows amongst this type of bush. It's higsa rumisa. It's a type of bush. The likli and burn it. The lisva and then place it. B'shachaki de kisna b'kaito, b'shachaki de amargufno b'sisva. In other words, after taking this grass that grows amongst these bushes and it's burnt, then it's placed. Now it depends on the season. Kaito, we see in the Gemara, kaito is the summer. So it's then placed in some worn out kisna. Kisna is linen, worn out linen in the summer, and placed in worn out wool. That's or worn out cotton. Shachaki de amar gufna amar. Amar gufna, you can see Rashi in his French uses the word cotton. Sisva is the winter season. So the ashes of this burnt grass are placed in these materials respectively. Ve'i lo, and if that's not available, lichri sheva biri, then one should, lichri is to dig seven holes. Guma biri is a bore, is a pit, so seven holes are dug out. The likli behu shavishta yalda de orla, and burn in them branches of a young vine. The linkita kasa de chamra v'yoda, and she should hold a cup of wine in her hands. The lukma meha v'loisva aha, she should get up from one of these holes and then sit on the next one. V'lukma meha v'loisva aha, in other words, she should sit down and get up from these seven holes consecutively. The akol chada v'chada, and on each hole, lemala, she should. It should be said to her, kum mizovech. Ve'ilo, and if that's not an option, laisi smida, she should bring fine flour. Veliska mipalga litatoi, and smear it on her from her midsection down. Ve'lemolo kum mizovech, and then say to her, get up from your ziva. Ve'ilo, and if that's not available, laisi biasa de na'imisa. Na'imisa is an ostrich. So one should bring an ostrich egg, the likli, burn it, the lisva, b'shachaki the kisna b'kaito, b'shachaki the amar gufna b'sisva, and then take the ash and place it in the worn out linen in the summer, and if it's in the winter, and worn out cotton in the winter. V'i loi, and if not that, liftach lo chavisa de chamro lishma, one should open a barrel of wine for her, and for her sake. V'i lo linket sarta, and if not, so one should take sa'arta is barley, de mishtakchas bekafusa de kudna chivra, that's found in the dung of a kudna is a mule chivra, a white. In other words, one should take the some barley found in the dung of a white mule. I nokta chad yoma poska tre yomi. If she holds it one day, so the blood flow will stop for 2 days. V'inok de tremi, if she holds it 2 days, poska tlosayomi, the blood flow will stop for 3 days. V'inok de tlosayomi, and if she holds it for 3 days, poska li'olam, it will stop forever. The Gemara continues with the next ailment that we saw on Omid Aleph. We have a little arrow here that is a throwback to Omid Aleph, and you can trace it back to where this quote comes from. So this is the case of the Yarkona, someone who's suffering from Yarkona. Train b'shichra u'me'akira, two of the three ingredients that were mentioned at the bottom of Amud Aleph is so that this might be a remedy for Yarkona, but it has the side effect of creating sterility. Before we continue in the Gemara, a new form appears, a new marking appears, the diamond form, and it's featured on the side of our Gemara, and we've noted Sidra Shel Trufos Liyarkuna. This is a series of remedies for someone suffering from Yarkuna. So we said already the remedy we mentioned on Amud Aleph, That's the two of those ingredients with beer. The E lo, the Gemara continues, and if not, Lysi Resha the Shibuta de Milcha, one should bring the Shibuta is a type of fish, so you should bring a fish head with salt, the Lishlok Beshichra, and boil it in beer, the Lishti, and drink it. The E lo, Lysi Munini de Kamtsi, if not, so one should bring, this is a locust brine. So if you had some, let's say, pickled locusts, the juice, that we'll call it the locust brine, ve'i leko munini kamsi, and if you don't have that, laisi munini dinikiri, then bring the brine from small birds. Nikiri are, Rashi says, these are small birds. The la'ile lebei boni, and then the person suffering from the arkuna should be brought into a bathhouse for the shaifei and smeared with this. The ileko bei boni, and if you don't have a bei boni, then lukme bein tanur leguda. It's another bein tanur between an oven and the wall. It's another hot place that is. In other words, we want this. This brine, whether it be the locust brine or the bird brine, to be smeared on him in a hot environment. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Horoise Shichamemenu Yikanchenu Bisadino. One who wants to be heated. So Yikanchenu Bisadino. Rashi says. If you have a situation where we said before that the person who's suffering from the arkuna needs to be heated, so either he's brought into a bathhouse or between the oven and the wall, and Rabbi Yochanan says you can create artificial heat by wrapping him. That's yikanchenu besadino. It's wrapping him in his sheet. Rav Acho, and by the way of the markings, you can see we have an Aleph, Beis, and Gimel over the different ways of creating the heat. Rav Acho bar Yosef Chosh Bey, Rav Acho suffered from the Yarkuna, Ovid le Rav Kahana v'itzi. Rav Kahana, he followed the sheet heating method, and it was effective. The E-lo, and if you don't have the ingredients we've mentioned till now, the last one was the different types of brine. So, Lysi Tlosa Kapizi Tamri Parsiaisa. We saw the term Kapizi is a type of, it's a measure that is equivalent to 3 lug. So you should bring 3 lug of Persian dates. The Tlosa Kapizi De Kira De Nishterufi, and you should bring 3 lug of this substance. Rashi says, Kira dinishtrufi shaiva, this is wax, hatsofa v'neitefes mikaveres shenismala v'neitefes. It's an overflowing beehive. So it's a beehive, it's wax that comes, like bee wax that's overflowing from a hive. So it's 3 lug of that substance. Utlosa kapizi o'ala tolano, and 3 lug of o'ala Talano. Talano is red. Red, ala. Velishlikinu b'shichra, and boil it in beer. Velishti, and drink it. Velo, if not that, then laisi bilo bar chamra. This is a young donkey. Veliglech mitziosa deresha, and the person who's sick should shave the middle of his head. Velishbik Le doma me apuse. He should bloodlet. And his lishbik le doma is to get some blood from the forehead of the donkey. You can see that Rashi explains yakiz is to bloodlet the ayor, this young donkey, the mitzvah, from its forehead. That's, we'll read that in the Gemara again. Velishpik le doma me apuse, from its forehead. The losve areshe, and then place the blood on the head of the sick person who shaved to the middle of his head. Velizoyer me ene, and he should be careful that the blood should not get in his eyes. The lo lismi lehu, that so as not to cause blindness. The ilo, and if not that, lesi resha the barcha, he should then bring the head of a ram, the monach bekivsha, that's been preserved in a pickling substance, in pickled in vinegar, the lishluk beshichra, and then boil this pickled ram's head in beer, velishti, and drink it. The iloi, lesi dover acher chutrana, he should, if not that, then he should bring a speckled swine, the likre'e, and tear it open, the losve alibe, and put it over his chest. The iloi, and if not that, then lesvi karsi, he should bring karsi, type of vegetation, mi kavtusa de mishri. Rashi explains from the middle of the row in which the karsi grows, and it's in over there they are particularly sharp or strong, they're harifim, Rashi says. Ahu tayo de chosh bay. There was an Arab that was suffering from yarkuna. Omar le leginoi, and he told a ginoi, a person who is a gardener who raises these different kind, this vegetation. Shkol glimoi v'hav li mishra de karsi. So the Arab said to the gardener, he said, take my cloak and give me mishra de karsi, a row of karsi. Yohiv le v'ochla. So the gardener gave him the karsi and he ate it. Omar le oshlon limoch. And the Arab then said, would you loan me your cloak? V'igni be koli. And I'll igni is to sleep. I'll sleep a little bit in it. Ichrich, he cloaked himself in this glima, in this garment. Gonabe slept in it. Kad ichmam v'kom. When he got hot, he got up. Nofal purta purta mine, and the garment fell off of him piece by piece because of the intense heat and sweat that he developed. It had this effect on the garment that it fell off from him piece by piece, indicative of his being healed or from remedied or healed from the yarkuna. The Gemara continues. This is a quote from what we saw before. The arkuna train b'shichro miaker. For the arkuna sufferer, he should use two of the ingredients that we mentioned together with beer, but it causes sterility. The Gemara asks, how is one allowed to bring himself to a situation of sterility? Omi shari, is this allowed? The Hotanya. We have we not learned in the following source? Minayin l'sirus b'adam shu aser. From where do we know that sterilizing is forbidden from the Torah? Shenev Talmud Omar, the pasuk says, ubar tzechem lo sasu. And we darshan the word artzechem as the chof mem suffix to that word is darshan as bochem lo tasu, that in you shall not sterilize. Divrei Rabbi Chanina. So we're taught from this in this Tanaic source that sterilizing is forbidden. So how do we explain that? So you'll see that we have a double underline, which one again a series marking in trying to explain how the Mishnah could suggest, or how the Gemara could suggest taking a medicine that's going to result in sterility. So the Gemara explains, and again, we point out that we have a double underlining series marking, which continues down the first number of lines of Kuf Yud Aleph till the Mishnah, in trying to resolve how, on the one hand, there is a prohibition of sirus, of sterilizing, and on the other hand, the Gemara is recommending for someone suffering from Erkuna taking a medicine that will cause sterility. So the Gemara answers, Hani Mili, when is there a prohibition of sirus, of sterilizing? That's when a person has that as his intention. Here, his intention, here it happens on its own, meaning his intention is for for healing from Yarkuna. The sterility results on its own. The Yomer of Yochanan, Haroitse, Shiasaris Tarnagol, one who would want to sterilize a rooster, Ito Karbato, Umistares Meilov. He removes its crown, and it will then become sterile, so that you're not actually, let's say, cutting the organs of reproduction, which would be a direct act of sterilization. Rather, you're removing the rooster's crown, and that will sterilize it. So that's an example of what's called mistares me'elov. It happens on its own, or me'atzmo, it happens on its own. The Gemara asks, that's not really the case. The Omer of Ashi, Ramos Rucho de Kahu de Nikito Le. The case of the rooster there is not that it's actually sterilized by the removal of its crown, but you removed its pride, so that, and as a result of its crown being removed, so it doesn't have any desire anymore for reproduction, because you reduced its pride. So once again, how can Sirus be allowed by taking this Yarkuna medicine, the medicine for solving the Yarkuna problem, when it, in fact it will result in sterility? Ella, a new answer, Besoris. It's mutter if you're dealing with someone who is already sterile. The Gemara asks, that's not really true. V'amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan. This question is a long question. You can see it lasts. We have a long question marking the kuf to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, which continues down the top of kuf yud aleph amud aleph. All of these lines form the question. So the question is from that which Rabbi Yochanan says, Hakol modim, everyone agrees. Now we have a bracketed section here, and that's only because the number one point that Rabbi Yochanan makes that's in the brackets is not directly, let's say, germane to our sugya. And we'd rather like skip the brackets initially to point number two, which is directly related to us. So he says, Hakol modim, everyone agrees, b'misares achar misares. You get three lines from the top. You see how we skipped that? B'misares achar misares shuchayav, that one who comes to do an act of sterilizing on someone who is already sterile, the second person is also guilty. In other words, the person who does this act of sterilizing, an act of sterilizing on someone who's already sterile, will be guilty. And that's what is the heart of our question. That having been said, we go back over the Gemara from the top line with the bracketed section. The Gemara makes reference to everyone agrees. This is on the heels of a Gemara elsewhere in Maseches Bechoros, where there was a discussion whether one is allowed to bloodlet a firstborn animal that is already blemished. That's called being matil amum in a baal mum. So there's a machlokus about that. In other words, it's imposing a problem where the problem already exists. That we can say is a general theme as far as this Gemara is concerned. So there might be a machlokus in the case of that firstborn animal that needs bloodletting that happens to already be a blemished animal. Again, that's not our topic. There is a machlokus in that case. However, in the case of the preparation of a meal offering, the Torah insists on meal offerings that are brought in the Beis HaMikdash as being matzah, meaning non-chometz, non-fermented dough. Let us say that you have a korban mincha that was kneaded and allowed to become chometz. Someone else comes along and then takes this chometz mincha that's been prepared and then bakes it. In other words, he does a second act, a second stage of preparing the mincha that was already problematic. That's called the mechametz. Everyone agrees, the mechametz achar mechametz shehu chayav. that he is guilty also of preparing a chometz mincha, which is not allowed. Even though it's already fermented, he, by continuing in the preparation process, is also guilty. Shinemar, the pasuk says, lo yisoyfe chometz, and it says, lo yisase chometz. Now, the lo sase means you shall not make it, you shall not prepare it as chometz. Is it not so that afia, that baking is included in asiya? Once you tell me lo sase, I understand you're not allowed to bake it as a chometz mincha. So why does the Torah specify lo seifa, even though the prohibition is included in lo sase? So it's for this purpose, to show me that even though someone initially made it, allowed it to ferment, made it, fermented it, someone else who comes along and continues in the preparation process, he will also be guilty. All that is really, as we said, is aside, because we have to focus now on what we call here number two. Everyone also agrees, b'masareis acha masareishu chayav, that if something is already sterile and you come along and continue that, you're also guilty. Shenemar, the pasuk says, umoch v'kosus v'nosuk v'koros. These are, we'll call, different problems in the male reproductive organs. Molch is something that's crushed, and we're dealing with the male organs of reproduction. You have testicles that are involved, and it's crushed. And kosus is also a form of we'll call additional crushing. And then there's nosuk and koros. Nosuk is something that's detached, and koros something cut off. So im al koros chayav. Koros is a case where a slit is made in the reproductive tubes that are inside the male and inside the scrotum. So that koros is a severing of the tubes, but if they're not completely torn apart, not completely separated. Okay, so it's severed, but not completely cut apart. And the Torah says that that is prohibited. That's koros is a problem. We'll say it's a problem of someone being sterile. So im al koros chayav, if for doing the act of krisa one is chayav, al nosuk, which is a total separation, lo kol shekein, then all the more so. So wouldn't it be sufficient for the Torah to warn against koros? And if that's forbidden, certainly nosuk would be forbidden. El alahavi noisek achar koros shu chayav. It's rather, it's what's coming to do is to tell me that if someone pulls apart an already severed tube, that he is also chayav. So that being said, we learn that if someone is already sterile, and as we just saw with the tube being slit, that creates sterility. So that is not license for continuing sterilizing. Therefore, if someone is a soros, that doesn't give license to drinking a potion that will cause sterility, even though he's already sterile. Viela, so the Gemara suggests, bezokain. This is a person that's aged. So that you would assume at the first glance, if he's aged, so that he's reached the point of no return in terms of reproductivity. Viyama, the Gemara asks, but how's that an answer? Viyama of Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan testified, hein hein ech sirini la'anusi. He says that reference to different medicines that were mentioned in Maseches Gittin, so Rabbi Yochanan testifies that they restored my youth, that even though I became old, I was able to regain my ability for intimacy. So we see from here that an old person is not excluded from the realm of reproduction. So how can he be allowed to drink something that will sterilize? Ela beisha, the potion that we said before can be taken who's suffering from yarkuna, even though it will sterilize. We're talking about a woman. Now the assumption in this answer is that a woman is not charged with the mitzvah of procreation. And therefore, there's no problem in her taking a potion that will cause sterilization. The Gemara, though, asks, according to the Tana Rabbi Yochanan Broka, a woman is also charged with the mitzvah of procreation. So how will you explain this allowance of taking the Yarkuna remedy, according to Rabbi Yochanan Broka, being that the woman is charged with procreation and this medicine will sterilize her? The Gemara answers, Bizakena, an aged woman. Apparently what Rabbi Yochanan testified before was something that's applicable to men, but a woman who is aged, there is no more reproduction there's no more reproduction possibility by her. Inami ba'akora, or we're talking about a woman who is barren. And so either a zikena or an akora will be the final answer of the Gemara, who was being addressed by taking this yarkuna remedy, even though it results in sterilization. Who can take it? A zekena or an akora? With that, we conclude our shiur for today.